How can I just let you walk away? Just let you leave without a trace? When I stand here taking every breath with you. Ooh.
It's good.
You're the only one who really needs me at all.
Everybody.
Phil Collins.
How can you just walk away from me? When all I can do is watch you leave. Cause we shared the laughter and the pain. And even shared the tears.
Is this you?
You're
too?
The only one who really knew me at all. So take a look at me now. There's just an empty space. And there's nothing left here to remind me. Just the memory of your face. Well, take a look at me now.
Everyone just does that bit.
Well, there's just an empty space. And you coming back to me is against all odds. And that's what I've got to face.
Welcome to episode 56 of Punk Rock Adventure!
That was magnificent.
That was really nice.
On the drive down here, I was talking to my girlfriend saying, I'm going to sing Against All Odds by Phil Collins. And she said, don't do that. You'll alienate everyone in the bar. And I said, yes. No, I'm going to do it.
You'll alienate everybody on your podcast as well.
Today we're going to be going through The Cave of Time by Edward Packard. My name.
That's the most any Choose Your Own Adventure book has ever got in cheering before this happened.
My name's Tom, and an interesting fact about me is that up to an embarrassingly large age, I used to sleep with a stuffed toy brown rabbit.
Has he got it?
I hope so. Well, this is an anticlimax.
His name is Bouncy Beans, and he's here tonight.
That's adorable.
Oh, God, he's brilliant!
He's not. He's got bad balance. Yeah,
What's the brown thing on his ears?
Has he got an inner ear problem? Yes.
Dear. Bouncy Beans has just fallen over.
Bouncy Beans is presenting his anus.
Steve! <Yeah. laughs> Joe! Please!
It's fine. Right. I assume he's over the age of consent if you slept with him as a child?
Yes.
Wait, is that so how it works?
As a teenager as well.
Oh.
And as a 20-year-old man.
Oh.
And as a 25-year-old man. Steve, hello.
Hello. My name's Steve. And an interesting fact about me is, yesterday, I fed a banana to a squirrel.
Wait, a whole banana?
A bit of a banana.
That's like much bigger than a squirrel in my mind.
The bit I
broke not including off, the tail, which I think is an extraneous bit.
It would be equivalent to me eating a big cake. All by myself.
Okay.
Did you give it to the squirrel whole, and then it was shaped banana-shaped squirrel after that as well?
I left forcing it down his throat.
I left a trail of banana pieces leading to my doorstep.
Banana and blood.
What did you do then? What did you do to the squirrel?
I was trying to lure the squirrel into my house so I could keep it as a pet and raise it for my
own. Delicious trap.
Yeah, didn't work.
Oh well. Kate, hello.
Hello. I'm Kate. That was terrible. An interesting fact about me is, when I was about 9, I once slept on the floor for a week because I thought I'd get tuberculosis. There we go.
What?
You were trying to get tuberculosis.
9-year-old logic said, if I sleep in the bed, TB is there. So, I don't know.
Who told you TB is in beds?
No one. I don't know. It was on the news that people in school got TB, and I was like, you know what people in school do? Sleep in beds.
So are you saying that there might be a link between sleeping in beds and autism?
No.
Vaccinate your kids, everybody, by the way.
Yes, please do. Don't sleep in beds. It's bad for you.
Joe.
Hello, I'm Joe, and an interesting fact about me is that once I vomited so much that my parents stopped off at a North Carolina church and a priest had to make me drink holy water.
Were you in The Exorcist?
I think I'm either Jesus or a devil.
One of the devils.
One of the devils.
Yeah. One of the many
one
devils,
the nine devils.
The singular Jesus.
Yeah. What were you doing in North Carolina?
Just That's just not the weird part of the story.
But it adds context.
It's just having a trip.
Okay. And why did you throw up so much?
Water,
I can't remember. It's something to do with a banana being shoved down my throat.
Okay. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, it might be. If you come to the live show, I'd hope you've listened to it before. If you haven't, basically, what we do is I am going to read through this Choose Your Own Adventure book and beautiful guests, and you and the audience will help us make choices about where we go in the story. Is that something fun?
Are they involved?
Wow.
I'm just going to shout out something and see how
all right, I'm into this.
Does that sound okay?
Yeah, that sounds brilliant.
Shall we begin?
Yes, please.
Please.
The Cave of Time.
Thank you.
You've hiked through Snake Canyon once before while visiting your Uncle Howard at Red Creek Ranch in North Carolina.
All right.
But you'd never noticed any cave entrance. It looks as though a recent rock slide has uncovered it. Though the late afternoon sun is striking the opening of the cave, the interior remains in total darkness. You step inside a few feet, trying to get an idea of how big it is. As your eyes become used to the dark, you see what looks like a tunnel ahead, dimly lit by some kind of phosphorescent material on its walls. The tunnel walls are smooth, as if they were shaped by running water. After 20 feet or so, the tunnel curves. You wonder where it leads.
No one takes in that many adjectives in one look at a cave.
Some kind of phosphorescent material is on the walls, goodness me.
This is bioluminescent, I'd swear.
Just a bunch of dudes in lab coats with clipboards arguing about whether it's bioluminescent or phosphorescent.
Whispering into a single young boy's ear on his way to Uncle Howard's.
He goes, it could be.
It could be
I
that.
Feel really sick. You wonder where it leads. You venture in a bit further, but you feel nervous being alone in such a strange place. You turn and hurry out. A thunderstorm may be coming, judging by how dark it looks outside. Suddenly you realize the sun has long since set, and the landscape is lit only by the pale light of the full moon. You must have fallen asleep and woken up hours later.
What?
Well, you fall asleep in a cave?
Is this a single page?
Yes.
That's half a page.
Two halves of a page makes a single page. We've just gone into a cave. We didn't notice that we fell asleep.
Yeah.
We were lulled to sleep by the bioluminescence. It happens. Yeah.
It's very soothing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, where's the uncle in all this?
Yeah.
I think if you accidentally start falling asleep near uncles, things are going a bit awry. Yeah.
Uncle Howard's seeing darkened caves full of phosphorescent material. I don't know.
Never noticed this cave before, if you know what I mean.
A rock slide indeed.
You remember something even more strange. Just last evening, the moon was only a slim crescent in the sky. You wonder how long you've been in the cave. You are not hungry. You don't feel you've been sleeping.
How old are we meant to be?
I'm assuming...
I know we're not past page one, but 30, how old are we?
35 years old.
Okay. This is something we've got to, like, establish early on, I think, because it colours the rest of the entire...
Well, I mean, like, this kid has a working knowledge of phosphorescent material, the lunar cycle, meteorology...
And an uncle.
And an uncle. And this uncle. Kid's unbelievable.
He's doing well.
I'm assuming we're 30.
Okay.
30, got it.
You wonder how long you've been in the cave. You're not hungry. You don't feel you've been sleeping. You wonder whether to try to walk home by moonlight or whether to wait for dawn rather than risk losing your footing on the steep and rocky trail. So we can start going back home now or we can wait.
I reckon we book it.
Get away from this spooky cave.
Nothing exciting ever happens when you wait.
Yeah. Also, the luminescence of the cave should be able to light your way home.
A combination of the full moon, the one moon, and luminescence.
The single solitary moon that
I'm in for this.
Aware of.
Let's get the S out of here.
Let's go the F back home. As you start walking back towards the ranch, you notice the trail seems very different than you remember it. Though, of course, moonlight can play tricks on your eyes.
As we all know,
moonlight can play tricks on your eyes.
David Attenborough often says so.
I know you live in London, so you never actually see the night sky, but you can tell. It does play tricks in your eyes, after all.
Mm-hmm.
You suddenly realize you are not walking on the trail at all, but on what seems to be a dried-up riverbed. You hurry back to the cave entrance. You look around you and realize the whole landscape has changed. While you're in the cave, torrents of water have washed out the trail, yet there's not so much as a puddle left. You shiver. It is cold, much colder than it should be at this time of year. You take a jacket out of your backpack and put it on, but you're still freezing. At least the world about you seems brighter. It's getting light in the east. The sun will soon be up. You look at your watch, it has run down, though you wound it only a few hours ago. Why are we... We're winding a watch.
Oh, yeah, this is the bloody cave of time, isn't it?
What? Oh my god!
Well, I didn't think we'd stumble across it on the first page.
I thought that was one of Uncle Howard's euphemisms.
So the cave of time hates watches.
Yes. Yeah.
Strange.
It interferes with watches in spooky ways.
It's like a reverse Yuri Geller.
Yeah.
That reference is lost on me.
He bloody loves watches. Yeah.
Yeah. You put a stopped watch on top of your telly when Yuri Geller's on. He'll fix it for you.
Will he? That guy's brilliant. Let's clear him of all the charges I'm assuming he had.
Yeah, he's our creepy uncle. That's who he is.
Nothing seems to make sense anymore.
Whoa! That's a huge life judgment.
You know you should get back to the ranch as quickly as possible, yet somehow you feel the only way to change things back to the way they were is to re-enter the cave. So do we go back into the cave, or do we go back towards the ranch?
This is all just a big euphemism for what was his name?
Uncle
Horace?
Howard.
What he's doing to us. I think he wants us to go back into the cave.
I say get in the cave.
Get in the cave.
Let's jump right into this thing.
Let's get this cave over.
We know what's up.
Called the Cave of Time, not the outside the Cave of Time.
I'll let you all know, we have already been in the Cave of Time, and some bizarre things may have happened.
Some time-related
matters. Oh, that is true.
I mean, tell you what. What does the audience think? Should we stay in the cave, or should we go? Who wants to... Hands up for stay.
Stay.
And hands up for go back to the ranch.
Wow, I think there's more people
at the ranch. Right, let's go to the ranch.
People here just
guys.
Everyone just loves cows in this place.
Tom's dad says go back to the ranch. You know, the ranch isn't there anymore. We're clearly in the past. It's the Ice Age. I'm guessing. It's colder than it should be.
So we're going back to the ranch then?
Yes.
Yeah.
The ranch that's definitely not going to be there.
As it gets lighter, you realize you can't be on the right track. The canyon seems shallower than it was. The riverbed is strewn with boulders that were never there before. Whoa. The cold wind chills you to the bone, yet it's the middle of summer. As you climb to higher ground to get a better view, you notice patches of snow. From the top of a ridge, you survey a barren plain, frozen lakes, and in the distance, a massive range of snow-covered mountains. You begin to realize you're not merely lost, you are lost in time.
I would not jump to that conclusion so quickly.
It's snowy. I must be lost in time.
If I was going to jump to an insane sci-fi conclusion, I would always go space over time. Always.
I mean, to be fair, we are lost in space as well. It's just not outer space. It's just a cave.
Are you saying the cave of time isn't in a fixed location in space?
I'm saying we came out of it and we don't know where we are. Or when we are.
Yeah, but the geography can change, can't it?
This cave is monolocational. Like, seriously. There's no way I can deal with us moving to Mongolia.
I think our protagonist is very easily confused.
He better be.
You have somehow been transported to an ice age that occurred many thousands of years ago.
Oh, come on.
Or in the future. It could be in the future. Like, our guy's ignorant.
Next time it snows, I'm going to be like, what? It's the fourth dimension. Oh, no.
You walk toward one of the cliffs that borders the canyon, seeking shelter from the wind, and notice an entrance to another cave. You're tempted to go inside, but you feel you should keep moving in hopes of somehow reaching country.
You feel you've had your fill of caves for one day.
Oh, too much spelunking for me, please. So do we go into this other cave, or do you want to continue on the path?
I don't want to cheat on the Cave of Time.
Well, I was going to say...
You might get angry and send me somewhere else.
The cave of something else, like the cave of spiders.
That's it. The title uses the definite article, so this is definitely the cave of something else. Yeah. Like spikes.
It's not a cave of time.
Or more uncles.
The singular solitary cave of time.
It might be another entrance to the cave. It might be a pothole leading back to the Cave of Time.
The tunnels of time.
Fall back into the Cave of Time. Do you want to go into the cave, or do you want to continue on?
I think it's going to turn out to be the Cave of Dinosaurs, if I'm quite honest. Do we go?
Well, that sounds awesome. What are you talking about?
Dinosaurs it is.
Everybody okay with going into the Cave of Dinosaurs? Cool. <Yeah.
laughs> The notional Cave of Dinosaurs.
Well,
as you enter the cave, you see a flickering light ahead and you smell smoke. You make your way along a winding passageway and enter a large chamber. Fires rise out of earthen vessels. Several short, stocky people, straight black hair and primitive faces, are painting pictures on the walls of the cave.
Primitive faces?
This guy's a racist.
Ooh, that's a bit racist, isn't it?
Well, these guys look undeveloped.
Christ.
Whoa.
82. 1982.
Oh, yeah, he's definitely racist then.
Yep.
They're dressed in animal skins. In the corner of the cave are beds of straw. You stand, slightly afraid, as the cave people drop their work and run over and stare at you in disbelief. The largest man is carrying a long vine. He steps forward as though he might seize you and tie you up.
I'm assuming by long vine, he means a video of 7 seconds, correct?
Oh,
yeah?
Very good.
Nice.
Very topical. Very web... Is it? Are we web
really
3.0 at this point? I'm not sure. Right. So do we run for it, or do we stay and try to make friends?
I think we make friends.
I think he's friendly. I don't think you can step forward looking as if you're going to tie someone up. That's not a gate that you can have.
In the complex, you know, political landscape that we're living in at this point, I think it would be a mistake to approach this situation in an exclusionary manner.
Like, I think we should PC of you.
We should accept these people for the vine capturers that they are. Yeah.
All right, so we're making friends then?
Yes.
You make friendly gestures.
What's that?
Whee!
Hey!
The man holding the vine steps back and smiles. Aww. The people talk to you in a friendly fashion, but you cannot understand what they are saying, nor can they understand you. You feel awkward, but happy to be safe and warm for several... happy to be safe and warm for the moment. Several people have gone back to working on their paintings. You decide to start communicating through drawing. You begin to draw a picture of yourself eating.
Eating? Oh! Oh.
That's a drawing of ourselves eating.
Eating an apple.
We've got a lot of hair for a 30-year-old man.
We've got a toupee as well, I think.
Yeah.
The cave people laugh, but one of them brings you a slice of half-cooked meat. It doesn't taste very good. But you are so hungry you don't mind. Gradually you make friends and learn a few words. Some of the people go hunting and come back with game. Others make clothing from animal skins. You help with cleaning and cooking, and each day paint a picture on the walls. The others are fascinated by your drawings of airplanes, ships, and cars. Thanks to Anisia's abstract designs, but they have no way of knowing what function they could serve.
Glowing their caveman minds.
Their tiny, primitive brains.
It turns out you are a skilled engineer and draw blueprints of all the future's engineering marvels.
They tie you up and sacrifice you to their primitive gods.
You are one of the Wright brothers.
It's Andy.
Andy Wright? And
Jimmy Wright.
One day a group of other people visit. You have never seen them before, but your friends welcome them warmly, holding a great feast in their honor. After everyone is through eating, the conversation intensifies. You can tell that the cave people are talking about a serious problem. Then, one by one, they drift off to sleep. You walk outside to see if you can learn anything. The ground is covered with deep snow. A bitter cold wind blows the snow in whirling clouds. Next morning, the people pack up their belongings, and they urge you to do so also. Some migration is obviously intended, no doubt to a warmer climate. You feel you should go with the cave people, but you have a great longing to return to your own home, and your only hope of doing so is to find your way back to the Cave of Time. So do you go with the cave people, or do you go back to the Cave of Time?
I'm pretty happy. I think my new life with the cave people is working out pretty
like
well
before
for me.
We were hanging out with our uncle, which implies some
nice.
Serious, you know, home
maybe
problems.
He's primitive too. Maybe he's all about that game.
Yeah.
You're
I bet, yeah.
Primitive uncle.
Half-cooked meat.
That's
even
my band, by the way.
I don't know. I mean, I think he'd do well in this time because he's clearly an amateur anthropologist, but I'd
and
I
a skilled
go back
painter.
To the time.
We're just there on the cables. All right, how about this? Laptops. Blowing your mind.
I think there's so much of time to see.
Yeah.
Perhaps we shouldn't waste it in caveman time.
We're totally going to die.
Yeah.
There's going to be a mammoth or something and we'll die horribly. I vote back to the Cave of Time.
The author's going to get tired of writing about cavemen.
Yeah. That is the thing, yeah. He's not.
They say something, I don't know.
It's quite a slim volume. It's not going to have a lot of caveman life.
There are 115 pages. Which isn't too bad.
Maybe we meet a cave lady and settle down.
There were no cave ladies.
Why are you assuming that the protagonist is a man?
A cave man.
Why are you assuming the protagonist is male, Kate? It's very sexist of you.
Jesus Christ.
If we were combined into one person, statistically
entity.
It'd be male, mostly.
Yes, I suppose.
So.
You pack up your few belongings. The one you prize most is a knife carved from the tusk of a woolly mammoth. You wave goodbye to your friends and trudge through the snow, trying to retrace your steps back to the Cave of Time. But the wind is colder than ever, the bright sun stirs your hope.
Aww. He's a poet, this guy.
Yeah. You've become much more rugged from living with the cave people.
Rugged.
Plus five ruggedness.
You're like a huge callus.
Oh, yeah, he's well rugged for a 12-year-old.
He's got chubby cherub-like cheeks.
He doesn't have a beard. You can't be rugged without a beard.
Your crude animal skin clothes keep you surprisingly warm. You find your way down to the canyon and in a few hours reach the entrance to the cave, now almost covered with blowing snow. You're exhausted from the long trek, and your eyes are watering from the cold wind. You hardly notice the large grey shape only a few yards from the entrance of the cave until you hear the deep, guttural growl of a wolf. Now you stare directly into its cold, cruel eyes. You feel that at your slightest moment, it will spring at you. You must think what to do before you move. You probably could outrun the wolf to the cave. It might hesitate before following you and give you enough time to escape, or you could try to knife the wolf in the throat as it leaps at you.
Wait, sorry. I mean, we definitely do that, because what big head goes, oh, I'm probably faster than a wolf.
The wolf will probably hesitate before it chases me. No, stab this guy in the neck.
I'm disappointed we don't have the option to make friends again. We could domesticate wolves.
Yeah.
It's been done before.
Let's rub its belly.
So,
I want to eat dog meat. Let's do it.
I mean, we heard the audience reaction. I think there's no other choice here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's prepare to fight.
They want to murder the wolf.
Let's
what if
murder.
Shame on you.
The
shame on all
becomes
of you.
Dogs, and now it's dead, and dogs don't exist, guys. Okay?
Oh, wow, yeah.
Butterfly effect.
Hang on,
what about
yeah. Are
dogs?
We affecting the future?
Probably.
We've just drawn airplanes on a cave wall.
Like,
that's
going
to.
That's the plot of
the
Prometheus.
Yeah,
in the future day.
I think.
In the present day, anthropologists are going to go, okay, so there's people holding sticks, a man and a lady, a dartboard, and.
A drawing of a boy in Tesco.
Yeah, and a shopping trolley. Oh, it's already irreparable. Let's just go all
stab
in.
Stab it.
That's not stabbing animals.
Stab the history-changing wolf. Yeah.
Holding your knife with its long ivory blade pointing upward, you advance very slowly, step by step, toward the wolf.
Where did we get an ivory blade?
Well, that was our prized possession, Joe.
You got all rugged with the caveman.
What, that was the ruggedness?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I totally missed that. I got so confused by it.
It's okay, we were rugged because you had a knife.
It's so hard to roleplay being rugged that I can't imagine having the equipment as well.
You advance very slowly, step by step, towards the wolf, which stands growling softly, apparently confused by your boldness. Then it springs.
That's horrible. This has got sad.
It springs. You lunge with your knife, twisting your body to avoid its awesome fangs.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Oh my god, your fangs are awesome.
Oh my god, those fangs are rad.
Yeah, you've got some rad fangs.
Your knife cuts through nothing but air, but the wolf succeeds only in tearing off your bare skin coat.
Aww.
It stops for an instant to sniff at the coat, and you turn and plunge your knife into its neck.
Yes!
The wolf twists, looks at you with hate in its eyes, and falls limp, its spinal cord severed.
Looks at you with hate, with betrayal.
We paralyzed a wolf.
Now you are a true Stone Age hunter. You skin the wolf and walk in.
You quickly draw a certificate in three seconds.
How are we skinning it?
You skin the wolf.
How do we know that?
You've been with the cavemen for a week.
You're a fast learner. You skin the wolf and walk into the cave. Don't know why we skin it. What are we going to do with that? You follow the right-hand tunnel, thinking you may find your way back to your own time, but suddenly feel yourself falling faster and faster into what seems like a bottomless pit. Turn to page 81.
That's quite late in the book.
The bottomless pit of time.
You feel yourself slowly regaining consciousness. You're in your bed at Red Creek Ranch, looking up at Uncle Howard. Standing nearby is a friend of his, who is a doctor. Uncle Howard's brought a friend.
Uncle Howard's given you psychoactive drugs, is what Uncle Howard has done.
You took quite a bad fall climbing on those rocks up in the canyon, Uncle Howard says.
And that's what you'll tell the police, Uncle Howard says.
Fell down some rocks. Doc Parsons tells me he doesn't know why you didn't break any bones. We were real worried about you. Thought you got lost in one of those caves up there. You feel a bit dizzy and weak. So you just smile and say nothing. Probably no one would believe you anyway. Years later, though, you write a book about your adventures in the Cave of Time.
Oh, dear.
Presumably because...
Is this guy trying to tell us something? This is a cry for help. Oh, dear.
Edward.
Wait, is this meta? Is this the book we've written?
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Edward's trying to tell us something.
Choose your own adventure books. Come from a guy who's had a traumatic experience with his uncle and some wolves.
Yeah, and desperately trying to get the story.
Spin off into a series, and he's like, no, guys.
Oh, guys, I mean, House of Hell is also a correct description, but.
Oh, dear.
It's about my house. All right, so that was an ending.
Oh.
Wow, the Cave of Time took us to one time.
Yeah.
I wanted more
it's
times.
It's not the Cave of Times.
Well, you know what? There are lots of times.
There are four more times.
How do we get to the other times?
We haven't even had props yet.
Oh, we've got to go back into the Cave of Time. When we went to the ranch, I think that locked us into caveman times.
I was going to bring a saber-toothed knife with me, but I decided against it. Because
animal cruelty. Yeah.
Yeah. Right, so...
Because it had so much wolf blood on it.
So do you want to continue towards the ranch or go back into the cave? Last time we continued towards the ranch and that gave us something different. Or we can go back into the Cave of Time and go somewhere else.
I think we
somewhere
go right
else.
Back in that cave.
Tom just said somewhere else. That's
I'm
good.
Calling it.
Very good.
Do you want to do that?
Yes.
Do you want to go back to the earlier choice?
Let's do it. I think we go back into the cave. That should another dice roll of time. It's not as clever as what you said, but it's
I just realized that I probably should have sung Time of My Life at the start instead of Against All Odds, but I did it. So. You walk into the interior of the strange cavern, then wait while your eyes become accustomed to the dim amber light. Gradually, you can make out the two tunnels. One curves downward to the right, the other leads upward to the left.
Up and to the left is left. Definitely future.
Right was the bottomless future. Pit of hurt, so left.
It occurs to you that the one leading down may go to the past, and the one leading up may go to the future.
Why does that occur to you?
It occurred to me just then, so...
Tell how you figured out the game of time.
I have no idea how that occurred to us.
Well, up is the future.
This guy and me are on a wavelength. I agree with him. Yeah. He's right.
But we fell down a bottomless pit, and that brought us forwards in time.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that's not making sense.
But I'm... It's inconsistent. Do we want to dig down to the past or climb
future.
Up to the future?
Future. Spaceships.
Yeah. Or another ice age.
All right, so we can either... Oh, we can go left, right, or outside the cave again.
Don't go outside. No.
Yeah, that's rubbish.
So let's go up.
Left.
Upwards to the left.
Yeah.
Turn to page 61. You follow the tunnel downward a short distance. Suddenly you are sliding. Your head strikes something and you are knocked unconscious.
You're sliding again. Up.
You were sliding back down. We were going up.
Is cheating.
One curves downward to the right, the other leads upward to the left.
Yeah. How do you go upwards and slide?
I'll tell you how you go upwards and slide, because I turned to the wrong page.
Why
did I get a round of applause?
I
just applaud him turning to the wrong page. It's literally the one thing he has to deal with his podcast.
I think it's because I owned up to it. The tunnel to the left winds around like a spiral, passing several more tunnels. You turn down one of them, then climb steeply. In a few moments, you climb through a hole and emerge in a desert. The weather is extremely hot. Certainly over 100 degrees, but the sun is about to set, so it should be getting cooler. In the distance is a range of mountains, which look extremely high, yet are bare of snow. You have no idea whether you're in the past, the future, or the present. Then you see something that fascinates and disturbs you. The sand seems to be fused into yellowish glass as if heated in a furnace.
It's the heat death of the universe.
Oh, yeah.
It's time to get Mad Max on this.
Hell yes.
I like this.
Let's build a car and stab some people.
Make armor out of spikes and tires. Yeah.
Is also, that an option?
Let's find out. Also, we don't know whether we're in the past, future, or the present. Surely.
Definitely not the present.
Well, I would say we are in the present, because...
What, the yellowish glass desert?
Subjectively, we are in the present at this time of our characters.
Oh, shut up,
Don't
Tom.
Be smart.
An absolute disgrace.
As you examine the sand more closely, you feel the air getting even hotter. Suddenly you realize the sun is not setting, but rising. The noontime temperature must be more than life can stand.
Now, this kid's not such a weather expert.
It's really hot. As the sun rises high, you feel a blistering wave of heat. The light is almost blinding. Could it be that you're witnessing the end of the world?
Oh, amazing. That's
definitely
what you're witnessing.
He should probably be taking his bearskin coat off right about now. Is he still wearing
that? Oh, he's still wearing that, yeah.
I'm assuming that we're just
this is pre-caveman.
Yeah, we haven't gone to the
ranch. We haven't gone to the ranch.
Yeah.
The ranch being place with ivory knives.
Yeah. You dive down into the tunnel, hoping you can make it back to an earlier time. Gratefully, you feel cool, damp air coming from the cave. You're curious to try the next tunnel you come to, thinking that it may show the state of the world just before it began to burn up from the intensifying heat of the dying sun.
That would be nice, yeah.
Oh, that pesky heat of the dying sun.
Or it might show you what happened afterwards. But you suspect that a tunnel further on might be more likely to lead you back to your own time. So the first tunnel will take us to either just before the heat death of the planet Earth or just after the heat death of the planet Earth.
Just after, yeah.
That sounds like a bad idea.
That's cooler.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to go, because I imagine the atmosphere has been blown away, and we're just going to immediately suffocate by walking out.
We're just going to fly into space.
Or we meet some cool aliens.
Yeah,
so
cool aliens. I reckon we go after the heat death. Let's see, go further into the future.
Yes.
And see what happens.
Absolutely.
You take the first tunnel and follow it on and on until you begin to wonder whether you are going around in circles. What can this mean? Perhaps time itself is slowing. You're nearing the point of exhaustion and begin to feel very cold. You see an opening up ahead and stars shining. You step outside on barren ground. It is bitter cold. Even though there is no wind, you know you will freeze if you stay more than a few minutes. Maybe not that long, for the air seems very thin, as if you were on top of a very high mountain. You find yourself gasping for breath. You look up the clear, cold night sky studded with thousands of stars.
And curse the name of God.
Among the stars, you notice a disc the size of the sun that gives off a dim red light.
The size of the sun. Well, that's approximately the sun.
It's a bright light in the sky.
It looks like some kind of
the size of the sun.
Some kind of bright moon.
Yeah.
It gives off a dim red light like a dying ember. The end.
Did we die?
I guess. I know, it just ends us there.
This is the first ever Choose Your Own Adventure book. And it's just, like, universally depressing.
We've become a murderer of a wolf.
Well, yeah.
Murdered and we've witnessed...
All right, Morrissey, Jesus.
And we've also witnessed the death of everybody in the planet Earth, which is cool.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
Don't try going through the other tunnel.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Slightly
probably worse
before
than the death of the universe, yeah. Let's do it.
After following the passageway for a considerable distance, you enter a very large tunnel that seems as likely as any to lead you back to your own time. You continue along and soon notice that the floor of the tunnel is becoming sandier. Perhaps you're coming to a beach. Then the sand gives way under your feet. You slide through sand and rising dust. You cannot stop yourself, it is too steep. Then there is nothing under your feet, and a moment later you land in deep water. You swim to the surface and catch your breath. You are in an underwater grotto, which seems completely sealed off except for a portion of its roof that is open to the blue sky. You swim to a large, smooth rock sloping into the water. The sand is white and the water transparent. The rocks are made of crystalline material of the most delicate shades of blue. For a moment, you are overwhelmed by the beauty of the scene before you, but you soon begin to wonder whether you can escape from it. There is no way of climbing up through the opening in the roof. You dive down in hopes of finding an underwater passageway that might lead to freedom, and you find one, but could you swim through it before running out of air? So, we can either try to swim through the underwater tunnel, or we can just wait here.
We can starve to
just
death in seawater.
We survived the death of the universe, but yeah, we can live this one out. I think...
Also, you guys think this is Egyptian times? There's lots of sand.
Oh, interesting.
I reckon it's
smart.
Egyptian times.
They had sky in Egyptian times.
Yeah, and seas as well.
Mm-hmm.
Crystalline.
Swim through the tunnel, I think.
Okay. Yeah.
Go
for a swim.
Yep.
Okay.
You're dead.
You drowned.
Oh.
You take a deep breath, dive down and swim through the tunnel. There is light ahead. In a moment, you surface in a beautiful lagoon. Thatched cottages are nestled among the palm trees that rim the white sand beach. A warm, soft breeze brings the scent of jasmine and the sound of strange melodies from sonorous drums. Looking out to the inlet from the sea, you can see a fleet of outrigger skiffs with multicolored sails running into the lagoons before the wind, their owners leaning against the booms to hold the sails out. You walk toward the village. Several handsome brown-skinned people see you. Some of them run
1982.
Away. 1982. Some of them run away, but others walk toward you with their hands held up in salute. Two children holding garlands of flower run up to you. Someone calls, "Aloha."
It's ancient Hawaii.
Soon you are sitting in front of a huge beach fire, cooking crabs and eating buana cake.
Buana?
B-U-A-N-A.
Buana cake, yeah.
Buana cake.
How does he know that? Or
maybe
she?
How do we know that? Having never had a visitor before, your hosts are happy to see you. They welcome you into their society. Gradually you learn their language. The boys tell you that they are your brothers, the girls that they are your sisters. You enjoy life in this new paradise. You still wonder whether there might be a way to get back to the Cave of Time. Your new friends are unable to help. Perhaps if you journeyed inland, you could find someone who could. Your friends warn you against trying, however. They tell you that they find only terrible jungles and rivers filled with crocodiles. So you can stay with our new friends, or we can journey inland.
Did they say jungles?
What?
Are there jungles
on
Hawaii?
No, presumably this is the future, and what's happened is Hawaii won all the wars.
Oh, okay. Like in a game of Risk where it makes no sense.
Exactly,
okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
I think from an author's a book writing standpoint, this is a bit too similar to the caveman scenario.
It's a bit similar.
A primitive tribe.
But we learned the Hawaiian language. We didn't
Did
learn
we
the cave
get cake
people language.
In caveman times?
They didn't give us cake.
No.
They
we
gave us
game.
Burnt meat.
So they got buana cake, whatever that is.
Yeah, that sounds nice.
It though. Might be horrible.
It's half-cooked yeah. meat cake.
So what do we do? Do we go...
So we can journey inland, yeah. or we can remain with our new friends.
Journey inland.
Yeah, bored of them. Bored yeah. of people
what's,
with the cake.
What's going to happen? The Cave of Time just opens
what is the audience
in our village.
Everybody okay with going inland?
There's right. crocodiles. Okay, that made him
Let's
even more enthusiastic.
Them.
You hug your friends goodbye and climb the ridge bordering the jungle. Okay, hang on a second.
Is there a prop?
I hope it's a real crocodile.
Oh.
Is it an ivory knife?
You hug your friends goodbye and climb the ridge bordering the jungle. You soon find an animal trail leading through the dense undergrowth into a tropical rainforest. The green canopy of treetops is far overhead, and only an occasional dapple of sunlight reaches the spongy, dark ground.
I swear if you throw a sponge at me, I'll be quiet.
Not regular features. You walk on and on, hoping to reach the mountains, where you might find another entrance to the Cave of Time. Night falls, and you make yourself a crude bed. Your mattress is the mossy sheet floor of the forest. You spread out fern leaves for a sheet. Early the next morning, as the birds are beginning their morning songs, you are awakened by the boa constrictor wrapped around your neck.
Oh, Jesus Christ!
The end.
Oh, no.
That's it.
We got killed by a snake.
Oh, that happened very quickly, didn't it? Right. They said crocodiles. They didn't say anything about snakes.
No.
I think we go back and we kill them. And we skin them for no reason.
With our big knife.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think this is stylish.
Your friends are understanding about your wish to find the way back to your own time. They tell you that they can show you something you never dreamed of.
Since this is they kept that quiet. They let us go into crocodile territory
get
without telling us.
Get killed by a snake.
It's probably just going to be like a stick. Like a weird shaped stick.
This isn't just a stick, this is a really
big
stick.
It's not
going
to be a PlayStation. I can tell you that much.
Since that society is very primitive, you wonder what they could have in mind.
This guy's so rude.
So primitive. Yeah. I bet whatever they've got is rubbish.
But it's just more cake.
It's probably not a PlayStation 4.
Have you seen Stick and Hoop? That game's really fun, guys. Next, they lead you to another cove where the waves roll in, rise up against the cliff, and then roll out again. Sometimes the waves clap against each other and send a foamy spray of water high in the air. You see some young people on tiny rafts, nothing more than surfboards, riding on the crests of the waves and riding them out on the rebound. In a few hours, you have learned a sport that brings excitement and fascination for hour after hour. With such delights as this, it is not long before you lose interest in returning to your own time.
Wow, surfing.
Oh,
you're introduced
great.
To surfing cool. And you no longer wish to see any of your family, your friends, everyone you ever knew.
You've learned a hobby, the end.
you got a hobby and never went home.
Sometimes you wonder, but you never learn, whether this paradise lives in the future or the past.
He said primitive, like an arsehole.
Yeah.
These guys are not like me, therefore primitive. Future or past? Don't care.
Don't care.
I think it is after they won all the wars or just a disease killed everybody else. And
well, they still have snakes, so they can't be that advanced.
What?
Is that your measure?
In the future, we will get rid of snakes.
Snakes?
That's the dream for humanity.
They're bothersome.
Is it not?
Snakes are just shitty sticks that bite you.
Yeah.
Or sometimes strangle you.
St. Patrick knew what was up.
Oh, yeah.
Where are we going back to?
Look, how do we get spaceships, Tom?
I'll tell you this, there is a spaceship ending in this.
Where's the T-Rex?
There is a T-Rex ending in this as well.
Where's the man with the beard on the front of the book?
I think that's us.
That's unfortunate.
I think that's Uncle Howard.
Yeah.
All right.
He's stylish.
I'm going to go back to right at the start of the book and see what happens if we wait in the cave.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's weird. Yeah. I forgot we did that.
Allow the roulette wheel of time to spin and spin.
You wait until morning, but as the rosy wisps of dawn begin to light, the eastern sky, a chill and forbidding wind, begins to blow. So do we seek shelter, or do we brave the freezing winds to see more of the world
this
about
guy's
you?
Guy's obsessed with hot and cold. Like, just chill out.
Wow, just,
like,
yeah.
I didn't actually mean that, but we'll go with it.
Fucking Joe.
Oh, no.
Put a jumper on.
We've got a jacket and a backpack, we established that.
Which of those two options sounded more like we're going to end up in space?
I think seeking shelter, maybe?
The
I think so,
yeah.
Too.
Seek shelter
oh, wait,
in
no,
a spaceship.
Oh, wait, no, I just turned. This is what happened to me, seek shelter. There's a man on a horse with a lance.
Oh.
He's got a huge
this
chin.
This has happened to
him?
Us before. This inspired the whole A Knight's Tale thing. So let's not do that.
Okay, yeah.
Well, I liked him.
Let's brave the freezing wind to see more of the world about us. Sorry, people in the audience, I'm taking the helm.
Yeah, there was a knight on horseback, which sounds pretty boring.
You resolutely trudge along a rocky ridge. It has been cleared of whirling snow by the fierce wind, which bites and blows against your body. The world seems transformed, and much for the worse. You must find a house or a cabin, people who can help you, or you will die. As you ponder your fate, you stumble and fall, plunging into a deep crevasse.
Falling. Always falling.
We cannot keep our balance, it turns out. You black out and later awaken, still shivering, but in a warmer place at least. By the dim amber light, you can see that somehow you've fallen back into one of the chambers in the Cave of Time. A passageway leads to the right, another to the left. Does one lead to the future and one to the past? So do you want to go left or right?
I'll leave this one to the audience.
I'm thinking left. What do you guys think? Left.
Steve, I think in this case, your contact lenses case might give us a clue. Because on the right-hand side it says R, and on the left-hand side it has a little heart. out.
It does.
So I think that's a
clue. Anyone else who wear contact lenses know what I'm talking about? Yeah, you know. No, they don't know. Left. We're going left.
We've lost the contact lenses he's wearing audience.
Yeah, that's true. It's a niche crowd.
Every time.
Anyway, I just have to scrap 15 more minutes of material. You follow the left passageway. It leads upwards to the surface. Before you, a grassy meadow slopes down to a clear, fast-flowing stream. Beyond it, a pine-covered foothill stretching in the distance towards snow-covered peaks. You might have been Wyoming in your own time.
This looks like Wyoming to me.
How do we end up in Hawaii, then?
Yeah.
But whatever time it is, the world you see appears to be a hospitable one. You notice a herd of buffalo grazing, but nowhere can you see a house or fence or road.
There's no way this is spaceship future.
But... or any sign of human presence. It is possible you are living hundreds, perhaps thousands of years ago. You gaze upwards. One of the puffy white cumulus clouds is moving in a strange fashion. It is descending.
Spaceship. Yes.
It's a spaceship.
A spaceship is landing right before your eyes.
Space petard.
Yes.
Only a few hundred yards away. So do you want to hide from view or go up to the spaceship?
Run
to
towards
spaceship.
The spaceship.
We go.
Get in the spaceship.
Get on one of the buffaloes so you can go faster towards the spaceship.
Right above.
Probably I've got a prop. Right, so this was going to be like a replica of Marty McFly's hat that he wears in Back to the Future 2, because of course, if we're doing with space and sci-fi and stuff, then if he goes to 2015, that makes sense. Unfortunately, it didn't arrive in time for the thing, so I've had to make do by covering a baseball cap
just like
in tin foil.
I think Steve deserves that.
Do you want this?
No, it's okay. For you.
It's very much a space hat. You suit it.
I'm not reading my thoughts. Why am I wearing this?
Because I wanted to get the prop out.
Brilliant.
You look
thank
like
you.
A glam farmer.
Oh. Yeah, it kind of got squished thing. And turned into a bit of a flat cap and less of a baseball cap. You feel you must be far in the future. Are you really looking at an alien spaceship? If so, you'd rather watch from a safe distance. Wait, no.
That's not what we said.
The wrong page.
No.
You cautiously approach the spaceship, and to your amazement, see it is resting a foot or so above the ground, without any visible mechanism keeping it aloft. There are no engines, rocket exhausts, portholes, landing gear, antenna, or any equipment you might imagine a spaceship would need. You realize it must be the product of a supremely advanced civilization.
The only kind I respect.
Ah, yes, these people are worthy of my time.
Yes.
They've rocked up in something that looks like a cassette tape, but I don't respect these ones.
I'm going to go killed by an alligator.
They leave the spaceship and say aloha. Fuck it.
Trusting that such people have learned to be loving towards others, you approach the ship. Very trustworthy of us. A portal slides open, but all you can see within is shimmering blue light. A large cube is thrust out through the portal and lowered to the ground by mechanical arms.
What?
Interesting. Portals? Cubes, you say?
Oh. Ooh.
One person in the audience really appreciated a large cube.
They appreciate it again.
This is fantastic. I should just mention different geometric shapes the rest of the show. The top of the cube is withdrawn, leaving a pallet on which lie the sleeping forms of three men and three women, dressed in shrouds of animal skin. Their bodies and features remind you of pictures you have seen depicting the earliest men and women on Earth.
I swear to God if he says they're primitive.
You have an impulse to jump aboard the spaceship before the portal closes.
Why?
Because you've got an impulse. Like, wouldn't you? Just, there it is. Do you want to jump on?
It's your last chance. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Get on the spaceship.
Always yes.
Yes.
Go into space.
What's the other choice?
Don't.
Oh.
Don't.
Stay yeah, don't
with the,
don't do
the
that.
Weird cube with
up,
the dead
he
bodies.
He gave up
on
his
it.
Time for surfing earlier. He's gonna like a spaceship.
I mean, what happened with the? What was the cube with the dead bodies on it?
They weren't, they weren't dead. They were just sleeping.
Oh.
Anyway, I guess we're gonna find out by jumping on a big alien ship.
Yes. So this is alien seeding.
It might be yes. We might be even further in the past than we first expected.
Interesting.
Oh.
You're not allowed the hat anymore.
Oh. Okay.
You jump aboard and find yourself in a sealed chamber. The walls surrounding you remind you of the inside of a bathtub.
Also, you're really short, so you know that look well.
It's like one of those Unreal Tournament maps where everything is just massive. It occurs to you that the beings who control the spaceship have some means of manipulating time. Could it be that the Cave of Time is their creation? As you are thinking these thoughts, you become increasingly drowsy. In a moment, you are asleep. You awaken in darkness, wondering if you may be traveling through space in the alien ship. There is light coming towards you from one direction, and you get up and walk towards it. Then you realize you're looking through the opening of your cave. You hurry out and to your joy, find Snake Canyon just as you remembered it. You're back in your own time. It's a long while before you feel like visiting Snake Canyon again. When you do, you find the opening to the Cave of Time has been covered over by a massive rock slide, and you think to yourself that maybe just as well, the end.
Oh, that was rubbish. Spaceship ending, you said.
That's like the rock slidiest place ever.
Yeah.
Very unstable. Do you think that's a metaphor for possibly our Uncle Howard being arrested?
What, the rock slide or the covering spaceship?
Covering the Cave of Time, I mean.
No, that's a metaphor for covering your memories up.
Yeah.
Pushing them back into the cave.
Yeah, it's a long time before I could think about what happened at Snake Canyon.
Snake Canyon.
I mean, it's called Snake Canyon. I'm wearing a snake. This is all interconnected.
I like that. So the aliens did the cave.
Aliens made the cave, yeah. There we go.
What happens if we don't go in? Do we get to find out about the creepy, possibly probed people?
Let's find out.
Yeah.
Much as you would like to see the inside of the alien ship.
You love cubes.
This is my kind of cube.
You have no desire to be whisked off into space. You step back and watch to what you hope is a safe distance, and watch what happens. In a moment, the portal closes, and almost instantly the ship rises, silently, straight up. Within a few minutes, it is lost from view. You walk over to look more closely at the primitive-looking people sleeping on the pallet.
There we go.
Primitive people. They begin to stir and stretch and rub their eyes as if waking from a long sleep. So we can either return to the hill and find our way back to the Cave of Time.
Kiss them.
Or we can stay and try to make friends with the primitive people.
That's close to kissing them.
We're great with primitive people.
Yeah, we've
apparently
demonstrated an affinity for the primitive people.
Even though they're clearly not anywhere near our level of greatness.
Beneath us.
That's a weird way
You're
of saying
You're starting to
that.
Sound like the protagonist. The people look around curiously. They hardly seem to notice your presence. One by one, they get up and walk around. One of them drinks from the stream. They make grunting and clicking noises, but do not seem to be actually talking amongst themselves.
Oh God, it's actually
this
racist.
Is gonna go really wrong.
I hate this book.
The largest of the group picks up a stick from the ground and begins prying up the roots of plants along the edge of the stream. The word stick was in the in the middle of the book and it's fine. I wasn't entirely sure what it said, and I want to read a book where a guy would just go like to the riverbank and pick up a dick and rub and
a dick.
Well,
and wave
there
it about in the air for a bit. If it was there, that's definitely what I would do. Go, look at what I found.
I'm gonna pry up some plants for this.
He begins prying up roots of plants on the edge of the stream. He bites at each one. Finally he smiles and presses the root around to the others. One woman clasps her hands. The others begin to find sticks. One of the men hands you a piece of root. You bite at it. It tastes like a dirty carrot.
Like a dirty carrot.
Like
dirty
a subspecies carrot. Of a carrot.
Again, this is just a big euphemism, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, oh, I've had a few dirty carrots in my time.
That sounds like a cocktail I don't want to drink, actually. The women smile at you. You're accepted into the group. The next morning, you wake up in the soft, mossy bank in Snake Cavern, a few dozen yards from the entrance to the cave. Wondering how much of what has been happening to you has been a dream and how much has been reality, which you have no desire to go back into the Cave of Time again. So that doesn't explain whether, like...
Wait, so you fall asleep and...
I don't know whether we wake up in the regular times with our Uncle Howard or we wake up back with the primitive people from the alien.
So what was happening there? Do you reckon did the aliens seed Earth with human life?
I think that's exactly what happened.
That's, like that's basically Prometheus again.
It's
isn't
the
it?
Start of Prometheus, but better.
The bit where they eat the dirty carrot. What
cube.
Happened to the cube? I don't remember it disappearing. Mysteries.
It was unaccounted for.
Mysterious cube.
It became the cube, the quiz show on TV.
It was buried, and then it was dug up millennia later, and somebody looks at it and went, I can make a TV show out
you
of this.
You see a charismatic silver-haired man walk past.
Can you pick up 17 dirty carrots in 10 seconds?
Right. I've got, like, some really good props down here, by the way. We just haven't found any of those endings yet.
Oh, sorry. We're not going through all the endings just so you can use all your props.
Have you ever read through a Choose Your Own Adventure book like a regular book?
For preparing for this, yes.
Oh.
Imagine what it's like having some sort of mental illness. It's you're skipping forwards and backwards through time.
Well, we're doing that anyway.
At best, unfulfilling. At worst, I forgot what time I was from.
What are the other props? Do we need to go back to? I can't even think of the junctions in time that we've missed.
There's a T-Rex that we really want to see.
Yeah, I
want
to see T-Rex.
I think if we stay with the first primitive people, I know there's been many, but the very first ones.
Kate, are you suggesting that cavemen shared their world with dinosaurs?
No.
Do you think Flintstones is real?
Yeah, I think they're going to teach us how to shower with a weird elephant dinosaur. I'm kind of hoping that happens in real life, actually.
We're going to use the T-Rex as like a big primitive car jack.
Kate's just called a mammoth a weird elephant dinosaur.
Yeah. Oh. I'm not as expert as the guy in the book is, okay?
Yeah, that's true.
I found a woolly mammoth. I don't know if this is going to bring us towards dinosaurs.
Can't, they're different times.
I know, but also 1982. Okay, so I'm not even going to...
Are we just starting at
all right.
A bit.
You continue on, following a trail leading up a steep incline. You hear loud trumpeting sounds from a nearby ravine.
Oh, yeah, shower time. Oh,
whatever could that be?
Yeah. It's a man with a trumpet.
It's that guy in his kitchen with his son banging on the oven door going. You climb over some rocks and find yourself looking down on one of the largest land mammals that ever lived. The woolly mammoth!
Yes!
Huge as this creature is, its size is exaggerated even more by its thick coat of wool. You are cold, desperate, and tired.
That implies that this guy can kind of really quickly assume the shape of things. He's like, well, that guy's wearing big clothes. Yeah. He's very much skinny.
Very much cut to the heart of it. You're cold, desperate, and tired. From your rock ledge, only a few feet over the mammoth, you could drop down onto its back, burrow into its warm wool, and ride where it takes
one.
You.
I don't care what the other choice is, it's that one.
I've never wanted to choose something more than I've wanted to choose that.
As you land, the mammoth shudders like a horse shaking off flies. It begins lumbering along up the valley, apparently unaware you are still clinging to its woolly back, keeping warm and enjoying the ride.
Stupid. Stupid mammoth.
Stupid mammoth. Going about its business. It doesn't even know I'm
forever.
On it.
We've got warmth, we've
Eat
got shelter.
Eat all the grass you want, Mr. Mammoth.
We could
I'm on your back.
Chunks of flesh out of its back and it won't even notice. Yeah, so,
tuck in.
Everything we could ever need.
What, you wanted to carve a mammoth whilst alive?
That's kind of messed up, Kate.
Well, I've only just learned that mammoths are a thing, apparently.
That's
so
true. So your first instinct is to carve it up while it's still alive.
That's what I tend to do when I find new animals, yeah.
Yeah, reasonable. The mammoth reaches high ground, nibbles at some bark, and then walks on. Perhaps it will carry you near some cavemen who will give you food and shelter. Suddenly the mammoth stops and turns its head, listening for something. You look up and see human figures approaching from two sides. They are carrying spears and clubs. The mammoth begins to run. You hold on tight. The hunters follow, screaming and yelling. You can't see where the mammoth is heading, but you're afraid that the hunters may drive it off a cliff.
Countdown to the word primitive.
Yet if you jump off while it's running, you could be badly hurt. So do we jump to the ground, or do we hang on?
I don't think mammoths are known for jumping off cliffs.
We
I'm not
on.
Sure why it would do that,
we
to
hang
be
on.
Honest. Plus, if this is like the plot of Ice Age, he's going to be fine.
I believe in this mammoth.
So hanging on?
Yes.
I'm going to say jump off. Actually, hang on, but just know that I chose jump off.
Should we let the audience decide on this one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Who wants to say hang on?
Hang on!
And who wants to jump off?
Jump off!
It's just you, Rich.
That's like two people.
You hold tightly to tufts of wool, hoping the mammoth will slow down enough so that you can safely slide off.
It's not going
to
slow down, you're in trouble.
But suddenly it pitches forward, making a terrible bellowing. In an instant, you realize you're falling through space. You cry out helplessly as you lose your grip, falling faster and faster. Thousands of years later, when Dr. Carlton Frisbee, the famous paleontologist... Dr. Carlton Frisbee, the famous paleontologist...
Yep.
Find your bones next to those of a woolly mammoth in the Red Creek excavation. He is amazed at how closely you resemble a 20th century human being. The end.
This man isn't primitive at all.
We know.
If we do the other thing, it gives us another ending, which doesn't have dinosaurs in, so that can piss off all I care.
Mammoths always go badly. Great.
Mammoth's basically a dinosaur, as Kate pointed out.
Mm.
For all we know, there were scales under there. Under all that will.
No one ever shaved one, did they?
Okay, so I'm going to cheat now. Just like take endings that will bring us towards...
Do a control towards F on a T-Rex.
You turn and walk back out of the cave. It should be dawn by now, but as you grip your way toward the entrance, you can't see any light coming into the cave. You press against the walls, feeling for an opening. Your hands pass across something cold and wet and hard. Ice!
The entrance. Uncle Howard?
Yeah.
What are you doing
here? The amazing thing about that entire sentence is there were about like four different places where saying Uncle Howard was funny. And it was like this moment of like, who's going to say it first? It's like chicken.
The entrance is sealed by it. Blocks of ice protrude into the cave. You step back, feeling confused and helpless. You wish it were a dream. Uncle Howard. You retrace your steps away, trying to think clearly. You know that your only chance to get out of the cave is to follow one of the two branches before you. So, do we want to follow the left path, or do we want to follow the right path?
The right path is the right path.
Right.
Later. You make your way along in the dim light. Ahead of you is a ladder. You take hold of it and begin to climb. Suddenly you hear a terrible grinding, crunching noise. The ladder shudders.
Almost like a T-Rex is chewing the ladder.
You hold on tight for a few minutes after the noise subsides. Then you continue up the ladder, and a moment later, pull yourself out into the crisp, cold night air. Lights are glowing all around you. In front of you is a large slab of ice. You feel a strange motion as if the ground is moving. When you touch the ground with your hand, you feel wood. Not far from it is a...
don't even need to say it.
Not far from you is a railing. Beyond it, the sea. Above you are stars more numerous and brilliant than you have seen before. You realize you're on the deck of a very large ship.
How do you have a cave
T-Rex
on a ship?
Pirates?
Very carefully.
Why is there ice on a ship?
On board a ship.
Oh, wow. Okay. Woo. Welcome aboard, Uncle Howard.
Not far from you, hanging on a hook, is an enormous life preserver. Stented on it, in black letters, is the word Titanic.
Literally the worst place to be.
This is the worst ship we could have been on. You know that there was only one ship that ever bore that name.
They did retire the name after the disaster,
the
didn't
incident.
They? Yeah, the incident, you don't like to call it.
9/11.
No, I meant the sinking of the Titanic.
Oh!
Oh my god, that's where the Titanic! I knew I recognised it.
Yeah.
There we go.
You know that there was only one ship that ever bore that name, that it made only one voyage, that it struck a huge iceberg, that 3 hours later was resting on the bottom of the Atlantic.
That's what the ice is, isn't it? It's the iceberg.
Presumably.
That's what it is. Yeah. Smart.
As you walk along the deck of the Titanic, you realise that below the waterline, thousands of gallons of water per minute are pouring into the forward compartments.
Hmm. Oh, you're on the glacier, the iceberg. Mm.
Hmm.
The glacier as well, the famous one.
Yeah.
I feel like this is a momentous occasion.
Well, it's probably the most famous iceberg ever.
Yeah, I can't remember what it's called.
I mean, name another iceberg, Tom. Okay, lots of people know icebergs, apparently.
The vagaries of causality being what they are, did we cause the sinking of the Titanic? Is that what happened?
Yeah.
Because I'm into that.
On the plus side, we also caused the film Titanic. So, yeah, swings and roundabouts, really.
That's all right.
The people don't seem to realise what's happening. The sea is as calm as glass. The band on the deck below you is playing a waltz. Several men in long black coats and women in fur jackets are walking close by. Goodness, one woman says. I can't understand why the captain has stopped the ship. If we are late stopping in New York, I'm going to lodge a complaint with the owners. So, do we try to find the captain and warn him that the ship will sink? Or do we go back down the ladder and try to return to the Cave of Time and not tell anybody about what's going to happen?
Can we push the lady
back
off,
down the ladder.
Off the side of the Titanic? What? Because I don't like her. So.
Has the ship already hit the iceberg?
I think so, yeah. It said that, like...
Oh, it's fucked then, isn't it? Just go...
Get
out of here.
It's going to happen.
Cheese it.
Can we take Leonardo DiCaprio with us, please?
Like, over our shoulder.
We just find him. Because screw that bit in the film, spoilers.
Okay, hang on.
He's got Leonardo DiCaprio
in the tonight. Oh. I'm sorry, everybody. He couldn't make it tonight. He was getting his Oscar. So do we want to go back down the ladder and run away from our problems, or do we want to tell people that the ship's going to sink and that they need to do something about it?
All these people are already dead.
Yeah.
We're out.
Yeah, they're already dead.
In 1982,
historically they died.
They're gone.
And what if one of them lived and killed your grandfather?
What if one of them lived and killed Hitler? And then everything else went wrong. I don't know.
It was good for a while there.
Yeah. What if one of them was worse than Hitler?
Yeah,
what like Hitler 2.0, but before Hitler, so...
Billy Zane.
I don't think we should muck with the space-time continuum. Exactly.
What we've established is that time's bullshit and we should get out.
Also, yeah, you will drown if you stay there.
Yes.
We do have this.
That's
this
true.
Life
we did steal it.
That's going to sell for a shit ton on eBay. So.
Possibly not when we come back, though. Land in New York and go, hey, guess what I've got? All those people that died. Oh, never mind.
Spattered.
We've got like four under our arms.
Yeah.
We've
got
loads
check
of these out.
And a violinist.
All right. You have no wish to risk sinking with the Titanic, so you climb back down the ladder into the hold of the ship, hoping that somehow you'll find your way back to the cave. In your haste, you lose your grip and fall. You reach out, but too late. You land so hard you're knocked out.
Great morals.
When you awaken, you're in one of the passageways of the cave.
So we can
explore the passageway, or we can check out the other entrance to the cave again.
The other passageway?
I'm so
different
confused.
Time?
Different
that
time.
One.
It might be a different time. Also, checking out the passageway might be a different time as well, so who even knows?
I mean, what are the chances? We seem to be jumping around Death of the Universe, which is like billions of years away, and the Titanic, which is 100 years ago.
There is one ending in this book I don't have a prop for, simply because I have no idea.
Thank you.
There's one ending in this I want to get to at some point, but I have no idea how I can make a prop for it, because it involves primordial soup.
Oh.
How primitive.
All right, so
finally, the most primitive thing of all.
You and stare you with disdain at the sludge.
Stomping on it.
So are we going to check
out bloody sludge?
So are we going to check out the other entrance to the cave again?
Yeah.
Yes.
You walk back through the cavern, wondering if the entrance will still be blocked by ice. This time, though, you're greeted by a warm breeze. Sunlight is shining on the ground near the entrance, and you walk outside. Squinting your eyes in the bright light, you see a world totally different from the one you know. You are on a hillside. For miles and miles, you can see grassy plains speckled with lakes. Nearby is a forest of towering ferns swaying in the wind. The world before you seems strangely quiet, except for the faint rumbling of distant thunder. Suddenly, the thunder seems much closer and louder.
This is dinosaur shit.
This is dinosaurs.
I'm afraid I can't understand this in the context of the rest of the book if you don't tell me whether it's hot or cold.
Yeah.
Does he say?
I assume it's quite balmy, actually.
It's
a warm breeze.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
The thundering sound is moving through the ferns. You run up the hill looking for a place to hide. A huge shadow passes on the ground. Above you, soaring through the air, is a creature larger than any bird you have seen.
Whoa.
He recognizes a woolly mammoth on sight, but he's not like, oh, it's a pterodactyl. Look at
how many birds have we seen, though? Like,
oh, he's never seen a bird before.
Did he say it was a creature larger than any?
No, a bird.
A creature, yes.
Because it could be a T-Rex, like, throwing a smaller dinosaur.
just grabs it and see, just launches it, yeah. I'm, like, also, I know, like, there are birds that can fit in the palm of your hand. Birds aren't that big, sometimes. Sometimes they're huge.
Also, for the record, pterodactyls are not dinosaurs.
Correct.
They are large reptiles. Prehistoric reptile.
He didn't say it was a dinosaur.
Oh, I'm just making sure everyone is on the same page.
just wanting to show off to anybody in the audience just how much you know about dinosaurs.
Neither
and,
are
and large reptiles. Yeah. Now it is clear what has been happening. The cave is a crack in the universe, a place outside space-time.
It's taken him this long to work it out.
Finally, I got it. It's
a
place
the cave of time.
That's why Uncle Howard called it that. Once inside its tunnels, you could find yourself at any place at any time. If you enter again, you might be sent to a place from which you could never escape. Yet that is your only hope of returning to your own place in time. So you can go back into the cave, or you can remain outside and hang out with dinosaurs. Hang out with dinosaurs.
Woo! That's never gone wrong.
Reasoning that you can always find your way back into the cave when you want to, you decide to explore the world in which you have found yourself. You make your way along a rock ledge overlooking the plains and lakes, taking care to keep your bearings so you can find your way back to the cave. By now, you're getting very hungry. You know that you're in the age of reptiles at least 100 million years ago. At least. Probably. And it might be a high number than that, might be a small number. Just a big number.
Big number.
Of years. And the mammals may not yet have appeared on Earth. There will be no rabbits or deer to hunt. Though the lakes may contain fish. You wonder how dinosaur eggs taste.
Oh,
Oh, who wonders that?
You absolute creep.
Oh, he's got a dinosaur egg.
And I actually stopped by Sainsbury's on the way back.
Look at that.
Yoshi! There you go.
Delightful.
A literal dinosaur. Ooh,
that's really good. How did you make this?
I bought it from Sainsbury's. Did you see the carrier bag? It's a dinosaur egg.
It's full of what is inside it?
Well, you have to break it open
and find out.
Oh my god! Oh. I get to break it open now.
Is it full of egg? Because
do it with your head.
Let's move all the things.
Break the egg.
Break the egg.
Break
the egg. Break the egg. It's unbreakable. Oh, he's gonna break a table. Just
smash
stamp
it.
On it.
Okay, Steve. Could you stand in front of the table here and smash the egg in front of our willing audience?
You don't break the egg first.
Oh, audience participation.
Jump on it. It's impossible to break.
Such a
resilience. It's indestructible.
Stamp on it.
The egg.
Is Yoshi going to come out of
it? I'm giving you permission to stamp on the egg.
Stamp on it.
Sweet. Dinosaur eggs look delicious.
The dinosaur egg is filled with chocolate.
That's the best ending that could possibly happen.
What a world. This is a...
And it looks like a dinosaur!
This
is a podcast. There's no video.
The bar staff look really angry with you now.
There's a big hole in the floor filled with chocolate.
If anybody wants chocolates, pick them off the floor.
We'll pick them up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey!
I'm really glad it wasn't an actual dinosaur, though.
Yes, yeah.
I was a little bit nervous. This has completely derailed everything.
I don't care.
Chocolate is better than a show.
You follow a wide path through the fern trees. When you round the first bend, you find yourself face to face with a horrible triceratops, a great grey monster almost hidden behind its shields and horns. It looks
and feathers.
And feathers.
I know things about dinosaurs,
thank you.
Too.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
It looks at you curiously with dull brown eyes. You turn, run, and crash into a tree trunk, one that wasn't there before. The bark feels like leather. You look up to see how high it is, into the jaws of Tyrannosaurus Rex. Hey!
Yes.
The end.
Oh.
What?
He was jealous of all the delicious chocolate. Also, I came up with a terrible pun. Can I say it?
Go. What was it?
More like the Cave of Dime, because that's a chocolate pun.
No.
Yeah. Got a good reaction from that.
I'm personally upset.
Oh my god, just
wow, what other, I think, is that all of the times that you've been to?
There are so many more times.
I can't think of any more times.
We haven't met any celebrities. Yeah. We haven't met Shakespeare, we haven't met King Arthur. They're bound to be in there somewhere.
Yeah, there's not many celebrities.
Yeah.
There is one celebrity,
primitive
actually.
People.
There was Billy Zane.
He's gone now.
He's gone.
He's long gone.
Oh.
No, it's foot chocolate.
Foot chocolate.
Yeah, I have to eat the foot chocolate.
He's drinking a twirl.
I'm trying. There's one specific ending here.
We haven't been to page 69 yet.
You haven't been to page 69 yet, no.
Yeah. Best time.
I don't think a Dairy Milk's meant to be this shape.
It has been stamped on.
I wonder what a cream egg's like after it's been stamped on. Oh, I've got the lifesaver thingy and it's all in my way. Yay!
There you go.
Oh, it's the same shape.
Tom, where are we going?
You enter the next tunnel you come to. It becomes smaller and smaller until you must crawl. You continue this way for almost an hour. Finally, your faith is justified, for you smell a fresh breeze blowing across a field of new-mown hay. A moment later, you're blinking your eyes in the bright sunlight, looking at a beautiful meadow nestled between gentle hills. A dozen or more cows are grazing near a meandering stream. In the distance is a dirt road. A farmer is sitting on a cart filled with hay. A dapple grey horse is pulling the cart toward a big red barn in the distance. From the other direction, you hear the mournful hooting of a train whistle.
Oh my god, it's a depression!
Mournful
yes!
Hooting.
You turn around and see that you're only a few hundred feet from the railroad tracks. A train is chugging around the bend, puffs of black smoke rising from its coal-fired steam engine. You're out of the Ice Age, all right, but not exactly in your own time.
The Cowboys.
I think I'm pretty sure what this one is. Let's find out. The train slows down as it approaches you, and you smile as you see the reason why. A cow is standing on the tracks just ahead, looking as if it would not move for anything.
And you're smiling because of that. You're like, gonna see a cow die.
I was going to die.
Hell, this asshole cow.
Hell yes. The train pulls to a stop and a man jumps down from the cab, waving a coal shovel at the cow, which waits almost until the man is upon her before strolling back into the pasture. At that moment, you realize you could easily climb onto the back of the train. So, do you want to climb on the train, or do you want to go to the farm that we saw in the distance?
Can we make friends with the cows?
No.
I quite want
to
go.
I want to,
become
one of the cow people.
Climb on a train.
I'll tell you,
but it could take us
we
somewhere.
Went to the ranch earlier and it was great. And what is a farm if not a shit ranch?
I'll tell you this, if we get on the train, we meet a celebrity.
Train.
Someone's going to rob it, aren't they?
It's going to be Wild Bill Hickok.
You climb up the steps between the last car and the caboose, just as the train begins to start up again. When you open the door to the car, you're surprised to see soldiers in blue uniforms holding old-fashioned rifles.
Oh, okay.
They advance upon you. One of them strides past you to see if anyone else followed you. How did you know this was the president's car? The first soldier asks you.
Not the president.
What president? You reply. Then, to your amazement, you get the answer to your question. For the very tall, bearded man walking down the aisle could be no one else but Abraham Lincoln.
Honest Abe.
Than Daniel Day-Lewis on the set of Steven Spielberg's Lincoln.
Oh. There's a hat.
A simpler time.
Joe, wear the hat. You've got the best beard here.
What?
Oh.
Marvellous.
Yeah, no, it's
a simple time when top hats didn't mean you're a dickhead on the internet to women.
That's good. I like that joke.
A plus.
That's all right, the president tells the soldiers. I could use some company right now. You may stay until we reach Gettysburg.
This is how he got assassinated. A man with a gun wanted. No, it's fine. I need some company.
Let him in the box.
Put him in the box. Get him in.
He says to you, but maybe you should get off at Parkersville. I know of some good people there who will help you out. So do we stay until Gettysburg or do we get off at Parkerville?
Doesn't he do the speech? I don't want to listen to
his
speech.
There is an address.
Yeah. What are we going to do? Stop and on the way to the Gettysburg address?
Yes!
And just make Lincoln late.
I'm cool with that.
I think we should say, letting me wear his hat.
I want to see the address, yeah. The Gettysburg, of which
speeches
Gettysburg is famous.
Speeches are boring.
What did he even address at Gettysburg?
Four score and 7 years ago.
Is that the one?
Ago.
Is yeah. that the one?
I feel if we're all wearing props, then you can have the future
hat
again.
Future hat back.
Joe doesn't get a prop.
I've got a boa.
Oh yeah.
Look at my boa.
I forgot that was there.
It's become part of you. It suits me.
Yeah. Oh god, it's on the tinfoil.
It's like a boa tie. Oh.
Yeah, that's fine.
Thank you.
I wasn't expecting it to last long.
It's a tough audience.
I'd like to stay until Gettysburg, you say. Well, that's fine, the president replies. Why did you sit across from me? I have to write out a little talk I'm giving there.
I haven't written it yet.
And what?
Someone who made Assassin's Creed read this.
This is genius.
I think I'll call it the Gettysburg Address. I don't know.
While I'm doing that, you think about what you're going to make of your life, because you can't spend all your time riding on trains after all.
What?
Which is all it's all I assume you do. It's all you've been doing since I saw you.
You fucking hobo.
He's literally just met us and he's like, you kids in your trains.
Spending all your time on
trains.
Go and
find a hobby as long as it's not surfing, which I've never heard of.
On a First Great Western train, I just sit next to him and go, you're always on trains. I've never seen you not on a train.
I bet you've got a rail card, you slag.
I'm Honest Abe, and I disapprove of surfing, for I feel it is primitive. That's the entirety of the Gettysburg Address. You nod in agreement and sit quietly watching the president scribbling some lines on an envelope.
Scribbling on an envelope?
Wait, fuck it, get a napkin while you're at it. Just doodle a cock in the margin.
Wow.
After a while, he looks up from his writing and you look each other in the eyes. You have a great future, he says abruptly. How can you tell, you ask? By looking at your face. Just by that? Just so. And as you're talking, you notice two elaborately dressed men approaching from the end of the car. They whisper a few words to the president. He excuses himself, shakes hands with you, and tells one of his soldiers to see that you're provided for in Gettysburg. When you arrive at Gettysburg, one of the soldiers takes you to a family who welcomes you warmly and agrees to put you up for a while, if you'll help them out with their farm. You find it amazing to be living in a time with no cars, radios, televisions, record players, or even telephones.
2 weeks later, you remember that you never told him he was going to be assassinated in the theatre. Yeah.
We didn't tell the whole of the Titanic that they were going to die, yeah, so yeah. I don't think we care.
It's peaceful, but at least when there's not a war going on, but you feel homesick. You feel the great future the president predicted for you lies in your own time, and you resolve to find your way back to the Cave of Time. The end.
Oh.
Before you leave, you turn to Abe and say, "Hey, those slaves, why don't we let them all go?"
And he goes, "That's a good idea,
protagonist. That's a great idea. Thank you, protagonist."
And let me just check. I think this is all the props.
Is that all the props? Yeah.
Good. Who wants to read another book?
No! There are two more endings I want to go through. I'm just going to jump straight to them.
I want to check out the man with the lance. I feel like we've neglected
him. All right, so, okay. I'll read through these two endings that we've got. Then we'll do the man with the lance, then we'll call it, I think.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
Let's go.
I want a more impactful ending than all of the ones we've had.
I hope there's an ending where I get to go for a wee.
There is something deadening about the perfect future society that makes you want to return to your own time as quickly as possible. This is where I'd pull out the hat, by the way. But
we've missed a future utopia along this way.
Huh?
Please
don't do a wee in the hat.
Do it.
Yeah. It's only foil on this side. It would just soak right through on the other side.
With a brief word of farewell, you hurry back to the tunnel, climb down and find a fork to the right that you hope will take you forward to the right time. Soon you're climbing up toward the surface, excited about the discovery you're about to make. When you reach the surface, it is completely dark. A chill wind is blowing. You sit resolutely waiting for dawn so that you can see what kind of a world you're in. Meanwhile, there is no way of telling what time it is, either by your watch or by the stars. You hear loud clicking sounds all around you, mostly in the distance, but some quite close. As the orange-pink glow of oncoming dawn lightens the eastern sky, you see nearby the shape of a creature that is the size of a sheep that has a very different appearance.
The size of a sheep, but not the shape of a sheep.
It does not describe the creature in the thing, but it's not like a sheep. It looks like this instead. So let's describe it for the audience.
It's like a wasp mixed with a cockroach. Why wouldn't say it's the size of a sheep?
I mean, the size of a sheep, that's not particularly threatening.
It suggests a shape as well.
Yeah, fluffy.
If a cockroach was the size of a sheep, I would sit on its back and ride it about. That'd be great fun.
You wouldn't say, "Oh, that's a sheep-sized cockroach." You go, "That's a fucking massive cockroach."
That is enormous.
Yeah. I'm also like, I don't know. We know how big woolly mammoths are, apparently. So why don't you just describe it as being that big? Because it looks
as half the size of a woolly mammoth.
There you go. If two of these stood on top of each other,
I've seen some very small mammoths.
If two of these stood on top of each other, it'd be the size of a woolly mammoth. Right. There was another ending about the primordial soup.
So that weird thing killed us then.
I assume that weird thing ate us alive.
Oh, right, that's like the end. You die. Yeah.
I think because it's like the very first one, they didn't have like
an idea.
Well, they weren't sure how much they could do with it, so they didn't say like, you get eaten alive by a swarm of wasps and you die in agony as they sting you to death and then eat you.
We can just imagine that part.
Yeah.
I know I am.
Yeah. This is fantastic. All right, I'm just going to go to the man with the lance.
Man with the lance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They definitely should have had a World War II scenario where you meet Hitler and give him some fun ideas.
What for?
About, I've run at some primitive people myself. Here's a list of them. Do with that what you will.
That's like they give you a
choice. I'm back into my cave of time. See ya.
Remember the Titanic.
No harm done, Nadal.
Give him the list, or encourage him as a blooming young painter that he is, and say, "No, I believe in you."
Don't do any putches, Hitler. It starts an inexorable slide. Oh,
yeah. And he'll be like, "Sorry, I only speak German."
You step into a niche in the rocks to escape the merciless blast of wind and lean back against the rock wall. Suddenly it crumbles under your weight, causing you to fall backward down a muddy slope and into a pond. The sun shines brightly down on you as you pick yourself up, dripping wet, and wade out to the grassy shore. You look back at the rock rising out of the pond, but you can't see where you fell through. While you are collecting your senses, a horse comes prancing up. It's right dressed in
prancing.
Tin armor.
Prancing? So arrogant.
This horse is taking the piss out of me, I think. A night out of the history books, enough to make you laugh. The horseman lifts off his helmet and laughs himself. What a place for a bath, he calls out. Well, it was worth it. You're cleaner than a pig. He almost falls off his horse, he's laughing so hard. But climb on, and I'll take you back to the castle, he says. We'll see if we can't make a human out of you yet. So he can go back to the castle, or he can head back into the Cave of Time. Kate, I feel this is your choice here.
I'm very confused about what just went on. We fell into a pond, and we were like, ha ha, there's a knight over there.
And then he came over and went,
you're clean like a pig is. Come back with me, friend.
Get on my horse.
Yeah.
Get on my horse, yeah.
You're all clean like a pig.
Come with me.
I only
trust
pick
strange
up pigs.
Men, I think, is what we do here.
That's Uncle Howard.
He did have a lance.
Great, great, great
Uncle
Howard.
You know what I mean?
The cackling knight helps you up on his horse. It doesn't say cackling, but I wanted it to be cackling. Like, it just paints a different image as he's there, like, rolling his head back, going,
constantly laughing.
Yeah. You sit uncomfortably as it canters over the countryside. After traveling a mile or so, you come to a great stone castle. The horse trots across the drawbridge and into the stable. Jump, the knight calls to you, and you slide off the rear of the horse. The knight escorts you into the grand chamber of the castle. All about are stewards, attendants, and knights. A few minutes later, you find yourself bowing before the king himself. After hearing your story, the king looks gravely at his advisors and knights and stewards. Does anyone believe this tale, he asks. Everyone cries back, no, your majesty, or certainly not your majesty.
But
can we get the audience participation saying no, your majesty?
No, your majesty!
That was beautiful.
Certainly not, your majesty.
Then tell us the truth, the king roars at you. So do we tell him the truth, insist we're telling the truth, or do we make up a plausible enough story?
So what have we told him that he thinks was not true?
He said
that
we walked into a cave in America, and we wound up in the UK.
So what's the truth?
And he said, bull plop. That's grade A bull plop. Tell me the truth. So you have to make up something now. He's not going to believe the Cave of Time.
It's a crack in the universe. You wouldn't believe.
It's a crack in space-time itself, your majesty.
Your primitive majesty.
Are we lying to him? So shall we lie to him, then?
Lie to him.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to have intruded upon your royal domain, your majesty, you say humbly. Try and think of a good story as fast as you can. It is true, sire. I have been badly mistreated by my wicked stepfather, with whom I live, and I place myself under your wise and...
Uncle Howard!
My wicked uncle with whom I live, and I place myself under your wise and just protection. Who is this wicked uncle, and where does he live? The king asks. Oh. If he is wicked enough, we may want him to be one of our knights, he adds, laughing, as do all the courtiers. He lives beyond that hill, you say, pointing towards a high wooded ridge, and his name is Smith. The king laughs once again. Then your stepfather must be a fish, he says, for beyond a hill is Loch Ness.
Oh.
Off to the tower, the king shouts. Two knights leap forward, drag you out of the chamber, and with spears at your back, force you to climb 48 stone steps to the tower prison. A tiny cylindrical room with one small window looking out over the moat and pasture land beyond. The only furniture is a bed of straw. You realize you are back in the early days of feudal Europe, where the only laws are the king's whims.
I can't figure out where in Europe, but somewhere.
How bloody primitive of them. You have no idea how long he intends to keep you in the tower. There is one possibility of escape. The walls are in the moat, about 25 feet almost directly below your window. It's quite deep. If you jump out far enough, you should land in the deep water and not be hurt. So do we jump?
Yeah.
Go for it.
Let's meet Nessie.
We're doing it. You jump far out and fall faster and faster. You enter the water feet first and hit bottom, but the soft mud receives you gently. In a few...
What a beautiful image.
Yeah, but it is, again, just a euphemism for something horrible. Yeah.
Soft mud receives you gently.
And caresses your skin.
Ooh. In a few seconds, you reach the surface. You swim to the outer banks of the moat, shaken but unharmed. You scramble up the bank and walk along for the cover of the forest. You walk along the edge of the forest until well out of sight of the castle, then head across the open countryside. You stop a peasant to ask him where you might stay for the night. Walk up that hill and you'll see before you the waters of Loch Ness, he says. You'll find a place there. You follow his directions and, seeing some little houses near the lake, proceed toward them. Darkness is setting in, and you're glad when you meet a fisherman who says he will give you shelter for the night.
Oh, Jesus, it's boring in feudal times, isn't it?
Yeah. He and his wife are kindly people. They invite you to stay and earn your keep by helping them fish. I'm going to skip forward a bit.
Burn this
if you go
book.
Fishing, we're going to find Nessie, aren't we?
We better.
So we're going to help him fish?
Yeah.
Go help fish. Ugh. On Loch Ness.
What are we going to catch?
You accept the offer, for you can hardly expect a better life at this point, and soon you begin to enjoy rowing out in the early morning mists and spreading your nets with a neighbouring fisherman. One afternoon, as the people are pulling up their boats for the night, your friend, now, bear in mind, this is an American published book, and we are in Scotland because we found Loch Ness. So, our friend, Angus McPhee, raises a cry and points at the water. You look out and see the great head and neck of a sea monster, a huge dragon of the lake. Nearby splinters of wood are floating in the water. That was Sutherland's boat, Angus cries out. It's been 100 years since the monster has been seen, but now it has returned. Who speaks like that?
Scottish people in feudal Europe, of course.
Last time I did that, I had somebody say, oh no, you probably shouldn't do that, so... The monster swims away and soon is lost from view in the mists. How could the monster be gone for 100 years and then return, you ask Angus? Are there any Scottish people in tonight?
Go for it!
I can't do this. I'm sorry.
Is the implication that the Loch Ness Monster lives in the Cave of Time?
Maybe. Maybe that's how it's only appears
once. It swims in and out of the Cave of Time and it
that's
shows
why
up.
It's alive all the time.
And it sunk the Titanic as
yes.
well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Somewhere near Beatty's Point, Angus replies. There is an underwater cave where the monster stays as long as it pleases because it is a Cave of Time. I probably should read these pages before we start speculating. If only you could find your way back to the Cave of Time. The chances seem slim and the risk seems great. So do we try to get back to the Cave of Time or do we not try?
Hang on, did our friend in feudal Scotland go, oh yeah, there's a Cave of Time underwater?
Yeah, it's a Cave of Time.
That's where the monster lived, duh.
Yeah. That's where the Loch Ness Monster lives.
Apparently we just don't care about that.
And
we're
nobody else has
here.
Written about that? Or huh?
Didn't he just say that this was the best life he could ever imagine?
Something like that, yeah. So do we try and find a way back to the Cave of Time?
What option lets me touch Nessie on,
I reckon it's
on
time.
Her lovely long neck?
Not going back to the Cave of Time.
Yeah, I reckon we do that.
Yeah.
The idea that
I just saw a picture of him being eaten by Nessie.
The idea that the Loch Ness Monster goes into the Cave of Time for 100 years or so before returning seems preposterous. And even if it does, it seems
even
very
more
preposterous
than when you saw a cube.
It wouldn't stay in the cave for 100 years. You know how the Cave of Time works.
It will go flip-flapping
about. You go in
about.
For a second, you come back out, it's 100 years later.
Nessie goes into the heat death of the universe. You go, oh, I don't like this. Oh, goes back again.
This seems rubbish. Everything's
eats
made of
a
glass.
Wasp cockroach and pisses off again.
It seems very doubtful you could dive down deep enough to find the underwater entrance. So you resign yourself to making a living fishing the waters of Loch Ness. You find it a tolerable, though not very interesting life. You particularly like rowing out in your skiff in the early morning mists and watching the pale red sun struggling to shine through the haze. That's what you're doing one day when you feel a tremendous thump under your boat. The stem is heaved high into the air and you're held over the bow and into the jaws of the monster. Some of your friends find the wreckage of your boat later in the day. And throughout the village, people say to each other, the monster has returned again.
I'm just going to point out his fang is going into his butt.
Right up there.
Yeah.
The monster has returned again. The end.
Yay.
That's it.
I think that's it. Yeah. I'm gonna take my top off.
What?
What is?
Hey!
Oh, look at that!
Official merch.
Official, yeah. Are they available to buy here today?
Well, it depends if people are interested. Don't have any to take away now, but
they could literally take the shirt off my back.
For the right price, yes. My beautiful girlfriend, whom I love very much, has made me a t-shirt with this podcast logo on. If people like these, then come up and say hello or send me a message on Twitter if you're listening to this on demand when it goes up on Tuesday.
It's a fetching
demand.
say hello and I'll see about putting a thing together so you can get your own. Yeah. And that has been the episode of Pod Your Own Adventure. What do you guys give out of 5?
A solid 5 stars for me.
5 stars out of 5.
Five
okay.
Nessies out of 5 stars.
Nice.
Nessies fit into stars. They tessellate quite nicely.
Okay, what
I'm going to give it 4 because I could have done with worse deaths. They were all a bit like, And then you live there happily forever, the end.
And everything's nice. Yeah. You don't want that. You want to get eaten alive by Nessie.
I became a fisherman. It was all right, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it a 2 for racism.
A 2 for racism. Okay.
Yeah.
But of course, by starlight, everything is a bit more... Like, it's hard to find your way through if things are by starlight. So that's actually 5 out of 5 from me as well. All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Kate. Thank you, Joe, for coming on the show. And thank you to Loading Bar for hosting this event.
Thank you, Loading. Yeah. Is this what's happening now?
Yeah.
It's really nice.
This is the post-credit sequence. Okay. Right, so I don't know how many people know this. It was my birthday yesterday.
Hey!
Thank you. Now, probably even less people know this, but my mum is a fantastic cake artisan.
Cake space.
Oh, wow.
That amazing.
That's huge incredible. Sonic.
Oh. Thanks, Mum. I love you.
Oh, he's got his bunny here as well. It's amazing.
It's the whole family.
Oh, God.
It's just like I'm 16 again.
Oh, God, I think I'm going to cry. It is so amazing.
Oh, this is nice.
We blew it out.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Tom. Happy birthday to you.